Good morning. Yeah. All right, so our chapter today is Water to Blood. And we're going to do a little review. Does anybody remember what a prophet is? Right? They're basically the mouthpiece of God. Whatever God says, they tell it to other people. He's the middleman. All right, and so the battle between Israel and Egypt was a picture of what ancient struggle? You remember that one? Yep, the seed of the woman, who was Jesus, and then the serpent, which is Satan. And it's been going on ever since. So we're going to start with Exodus 7:14 to 24. All right, so the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord God, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died, and the river stunk. And the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river, so there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither was his heart moved by this. So all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink the water in the river. Okay. All right, so our first question, remember the name of the river? We didn't mention it in this scripture, but the Nile River, that's right. So the Nile, which provided rich land for farming, Egypt depended on the Nile for food, water, travel, and worship. Worship? What are they, worshiping the water? Yeah, they worshiped the water. They saw the river as the god of life. You know, water, if you water the ground, stuff grows, right? We know that out here. If it rains a couple of days, grass will grow everywhere. So it was Egypt's most valuable resource. So what did the water turn into?
Blood.
Blood. Okay. That's a lot of blood, huh? All right, which blood, which serves as a picture of death, God was punishing Egypt's sin, for the wages of death, of sin is death. To harden one's heart against God will resort in death. This plague showed that the Lord was stronger than the false gods of Egypt. How did Pharaoh respond to this plague?
He
Yeah, he wasn't, didn't bother him, seemed to bother him at all. He just went back in his house. So he didn't heed God's word, right? All right, so our main idea here is God sent the first plague by turning the water of the Nile into blood. The mighty Nile is the longest river in the world, stretching over 4,100 miles. That's long. That's longer than from California to Florida. Parts of it are 2 to 5 miles wide, which that's quite wide, too. That's bigger than some lakes. It ran through the whole land of Egypt and still does today. The ancient Egyptians worshipped the Nile as a god. That is weird, huh? They called it the father of life, the giver of life. Early in the morning, Pharaoh would go out and sacrifice to the false god of the Nile, but he refused to recognize the one true God and continued to harden his heart. Turning the water to blood was the first plague the Lord sent against Egypt. And 9 more plagues would follow, making 10 in all. So it took a long time for him to realize God is stronger than him, right? In this one was a sign that Egypt was under God's death sentence for its sin and idolatry. All the water turned to blood, the fish died, and the river of Egypt stunk with rotten fish and the smell of death. So not just the fish would have stunk, I would think that blood would have stunk too. All that blood and so hot over there. So Pharaoh's magicians also turned some water into blood. So let's think about that. So here God turns water into blood, and what's the best thing the magicians can do is copy what God did. Now, if they were truly good, better than God, and smart, they would have turned the blood back to water. That's like Moses taking a hammer and Pharaoh's finger. That would hurt, right? So turning the blood hurt the Egyptians also. So that'd be like the magician's taking a hammer, hitting his other finger. Ah, that wasn't any good. Yeah, so they didn't do any good. All they did was copy. And that's the motive of Satan. So all he can do is copy. So we see they tried to show their power was greater than God's, but it wasn't. They did a bad thing. Turned more water into blood. They could not reverse God's curse, but only make it worse. Satan still does lying signs, wonders, and tries to trick people. God's true work shows that the words of his true prophets in the Bible are real. If we don't want to fall into Satan's lies, we must listen carefully to God's word. All right, so what was God telling Egypt when he turned the Nile into blood, you think? What was he showing Pharaoh when he did that? Was God showing himself to be weak or strong? Very strong, right? So God was showing them that he's strong. And we see that in our text in verse 17, where he says that, "Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am God." So he is showing Pharaoh he is God. The river's not God. Not all your other little gods or false gods, but the one true God is God. What's the purpose of God's miracles, you think, that are recorded here? What's the purpose of this miracle? I kind of gave it away in the last one. that God is all powerful, right? That he can do things like that. The purpose was to show the unbelieving Egyptians that the great I Am is the Lord, not the river, not anything else, the sun or anything like that. So are all miracles from God? No, that's right. Satan does signs and wonders to trick and deceive people. Where's the first deception? You remember where the first deception was? In the Garden of Eden, that's right. The serpent deceived Eve, right? And that's what Satan does. So in 2 Thessalonians, if I can find it. My 2 Thessalonians 2:9. These shall be, that's one, let's go to two. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders. Okay, so even Satan can perform these signs and wonders. The Old Testament and New Testament doesn't have a word, doesn't use the word miracles. They use signs and wonders. So that's what Satan can do. He can do some really amazing things, you know, like the magicians did. What they do, they turned some water into blood too. So he can do that. He can, and he does that to try and deceive us. So as we we'll go to a prayer, we'll pray that you know, our families, we would grow and understand and recognize the difference between true and false religions and true and false teachings also. All right, so let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, and our gracious God, Father, you are the one true living God. And we see throughout your scripture that that's what you teach people, whether they are believers or unbelievers. You teach them that you are the great I Am, and there is none like you, and you are the only one worthy of praise and glory and honor, the only one worthy of our worship. And Father, we pray that as we go into our worship service, that it would be pleasing to you. We pray that the rest of the week, before we return next week, that all that we do will be to your praise and to you for your glory. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.